you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Happy Saturday. Valentine's Day is just around the corner, so we thought we'd have a love story for today's classic. Sort of. It's actually a tragic story, but even before it turns tragic, one of its protagonists comes off as a little bit of a creeper. This is the story of Abelard and Heloise, which first came out on the podcast in 2014.
We got a number of notes after this podcast was first published about whether Heloise should be pronounced with or without an H, and we basically had pronounced it the way my medieval literature professor pronounced it. So let's listen in.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
And today we have something that has been a request of listeners.
Oh, yes.
It was also something I planned to do, and that is the story of Abelard and Heloise. So Abelard was a poet, a philosopher, and a theologian, and he was born in Brittany, which is in northwest France today, in 1079. And in the words of the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, he was, quote, the preeminent philosopher and theologian of the 12th century. Heloise was one of his students, and she was born right around the turn of the 12th century, and she was a respected abbess of a prominent community of nuns. So they sort of had their own lives there, but they are best known today for their very tragic love story. It's been commemorated in poems, songs, novels, and films. If you've ever seen Being John Malkovich, you may even remember the Abelard and Heloise puppet show that features in that film. This is a tragic love story. It's one I described the plot of it to the boyfriend over the weekend, and every time I would sort of get to a turning point, he would go, and then everyone's okay with that, right? No. This is complete with...
That's so hopeful.
You know, honey, they were not okay with that. It's complete with lovers who were forced apart, a secret marriage, a castration, and repeated exhumations, which is why we're talking about it right before Valentine's Day.
What's more romantic than an exhumation, really?
I know. Well, the exhumations actually are kind of romantic in a way, so we will get to that toward the end of the episode.
I'm laughing that awkward silent laugh where no noise comes out. My face is just frozen in this odd scowl.
Yeah,
giggle.
As is often the case, we're talking about the story because I kind of love it, but it is very sad and disturbing in many ways. So, yes.
So we'll kick it off with sort of the background of the whole thing. And we should say at the front, we don't really know very much about Heloise's life before she met Abelard. We do not even know the identity of her parents. On the other hand, Abelard had really made a name for himself before Heloise was even born. And he wrote his life story down in a letter which is known as Historia Calamitatum, or The Story of My Misfortunes.
So Pierre Abelard, also known as Peter Abelard, was the son of a knight, and his family was on the lower rungs of the nobility. His father was an educated man and took pains to make sure that all of his children were educated too, but as the eldest son, Abelard was really meant to follow in his father's knightly footsteps, and in doing so, he would also be receiving a sizable inheritance.
However, what Abelard really loved was letters and learning, and he gave up all of this potential knighthood to become a philosopher. And as he described it, quote, "I fled utterly from the court of Mars that I might win learning in the bosom of Minerva," which is a lovely sentiment.
It's quite lovely. Yeah. There are many lovely sentiments in this story to go with the parts that are horrifying. He became an adherent of Aristotle, also known as a Peripatetic. And the Peripatetics purportedly got their name from Aristotle's habit of pacing around while he was teaching. But it also came to just generally describe people who moved around a lot, which applied to Abelard as well. By the time he met Heloise, he'd spent years studying and teaching Aristotelian philosophy and logic all over what is now France, and he had developed his own philosophy of language.
And along the way, he studied in Paris under William of Champeaux, who was another prominent theologian and logician at the time, and it became the first of many conflicts between Abelard and another public figure. Abelard really picked apart and debated William's teachings, and when he, Abelard, was judged to be the winner, he was quite boastful about it and unfortunately tried to shame and embarrass William. Not the most noble behavior. And this simultaneously increased Abelard's reputation, and it caused him some understandable problems in the intellectual community.
This was kind of his standard way of relating to people. He had a similar experience not long after with another teacher, Anselm of Laon, who he'd sought out to learn from before later becoming his rival.
After leaving Laon, Abelard went to Paris again and became scholar in residence at Notre Dame. And that's when Heloise's uncle, Fulbert, sent Heloise to Abelard for tutoring. Fulbert was a canon, which is a type of clergyman.
So at this point in the story, Abelard would have been about 38 years old. Heloise's age is kind of subject to debate because we don't know exactly when she was born. It's cited as anywhere between 17 and 25.
And here's how Abelard described Heloise in his Historia Calamitatum. Quote, "Of no mean beauty, she stood out above all by reason of her abundant knowledge of letters. Now this virtue is rare among women, and for that very reason it doubly graced the maiden and made her the most worthy of renown in the entire kingdom. It was this young girl whom I, after carefully considering all those qualities which are wont to attract lovers, determined to unite with myself in the bonds of love, and indeed the thing seemed to me very easy to be done."
Meanwhile, he described himself as, quote, "possessed of such advantages of youth and comeliness that no matter what woman I might favor with my love, I dreaded rejection of none."
Not really short on confidence.
Nope.
So the pair started out with a written courtship, and eventually they wanted to have more face-to-face conversations with one another. So Abelard convinced Heloise's uncle to offer him lodgings in his house, which was also near the school where he taught. And Fulbert basically gave Abelard free rein over Heloise's education. He wrote, quote, "The man's simplicity was nothing short of astounding to me. I should not have been more smitten with wonder if he had entrusted a tender lamb to the care of a ravenous wolf."
So that to me sounds a little alarming. But
it's less romantic and more like,
yeah, he seems a little creepy. But his description of their developing relationship sounds a little bit less predatory. Because he says, "We were united first in the dwelling that sheltered our love, and then in the hearts that burned with it. Under the pretext of study, we spent our hours in the happiness of love." Heloise's point of view at the very start of their relationship really was not documented. Some scholars argue that she was a willing participant, but others point out passages from letters in which Abelard says that he was sort of coercive and demanding. But in the end, she insisted that she loved him passionately and completely, and their time together became so consuming and so extensive that Abelard started to shirk his other duties, both of her education and of the school where he was supposed to be teaching. And Heloise's uncle seemed blind to all of this. So even as people gossiped and dropped hints to him that something was up with his niece and her teacher, he didn't seem to catch on. And when he inevitably did wise up to it after several months, Heloise's uncle, as one would anticipate, separated them.
Abelard is quite poetic about this, too. He says, "Each grieved most, not for himself, but for the other. Each sought to allay not his own sufferings, but those of the one he loved. The very sundering of our bodies served but to link our souls closer together. The plenitude of the love which was denied to us inflamed us more than ever." I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Sometime after her uncle found them out, Heloise realized she was pregnant, and she told Abelard that she was. So one night, while her uncle was away,
Abelard spirited her out of the house and sent her to live with his sister in Brittany until the baby was born. Heloise's uncle, no surprise, was outraged. Abelard went to him and begged for forgiveness, insisting that he and Heloise truly loved one another. He offered to marry Heloise in secret, and Fulbert agreed. But neither one of them really wanted to get married. They both sort of looked at marriage as this morally weak way to get away with having physical lust. Getting married would also have been a huge blow to Abelard's reputation, and it would have put a cap on how far he could advance in the church, since the highest levels of the clergy couldn't really marry. And since church was really the only path for somebody who had Abelard's education at that point, this was a problem. If he married her, he was going to be stalling his career permanently. But he was willing to do it because it seemed like the only way to appease her uncle's fury.
Abelard went back to Brittany to retrieve Heloise and to marry her, but she actually refused him. She said that the plan was too dangerous, that she was not willing to sacrifice his potential and his reputation, and that there was no way her uncle was really going to forgive Abelard anyway just because he married her.
According to Abelard, after going on just at length about how damaging marriage and children were to the study of philosophy, Heloise said this: "If laymen and Gentiles, bound by no profession of religion, lived after this fashion, what ought you, a cleric and a canon, do in order not to prefer base voluptuousness to your sacred duties? To prevent this Charybdis from sucking you down headlong, and to save yourself from being plunged shamelessly and irrevocably into such filth as this." Not a favorite of the idea of marriage at all.
Yeah. What a pity. She went on to say how much sweeter and romantic it would be for her to be his mistress rather than his wife, because love would be a stronger bond between them than marriage could ever be. And in doing this, Heloise was basically saying she would sacrifice herself entirely for Abelard's sake, to allow him to have her without standing in the way of his life and career, while she would endure basically all the consequences.
Abelard could not be convinced, though, and she finally gave up, saying, "Then there is no more left but this, that in our doom the sorrow yet to come shall be no less than the love we two have already known." Which is some foreshadowing.
When the baby was born, she named it Astrolabe, and they left him with Abelard's sister and returned to Paris to be married in secret very early one morning, in the presence of Heloise's uncle and some of Abelard's friends.
And Heloise, being an intelligent woman, was definitely right about her uncle. Even though their marriage was supposed to be a secret, Fulbert told other people that they had gotten married. So Heloise publicly insisted that her uncle was lying, which infuriated him. And fearing for her safety, Abelard sent her to the convent where she had been educated when she was younger, a place outside of Paris called Argenteuil.
They continued to see one another. There's a passage in one of Heloise's letters in which she talks about making love in a corner of the convent itself. But Heloise's uncle interpreted her entry into the convent as a ploy by Abelard to get rid of her. So he bribed the servants in the house where Abelard was staying so they could get access to his rooms. And he sent his own servants to break into Abelard's room in the middle of the night, where they actually castrated him.
So, according to Abelard, the next morning, there was an enormous crowd who came out. It reads as though he's saying that they were mourning the loss of his man parts. Probably it was, this is a mark of the translation, that it was really that people were extremely upset at the physical disfigurement he had undergone, and it not so much just the loss of physical sexual prowess.
Right.
So he says, "It is difficult, nay impossible, for words of mine to describe the amazement which bewildered them, the lamentations they uttered, the uproar with which they harassed me, or the grief with which they increased my own suffering."
He simultaneously bemoaned his fate and saw it as a fitting punishment, since it had removed from him the part of his body with which he had sinned.
Abelard retreated to the monastery at Saint-Denis. At first, this was more to hide from what had happened to him than out of any newfound religious devotion. He became a monk, and Heloise, who at this point was already sheltering at a convent, took vows and became a Benedictine nun.
While at Saint-Denis, Abelard tried to continue with his life of study and teaching, but to turn his attention to faith instead of philosophy. But the monastery at Saint-Denis was, in Abelard's words, quote, utterly worldly, and its abbot was corrupt. Abelard became popular as a teacher, even as he criticized the monastery and tried very hard to reform it.
His constant criticism naturally drew the ire of the other teachers and monks at the monastery, who all rallied against him and complained about him to bishops, archbishops, and any other church official who would listen. He also, while he was there, wrote books that were deemed to be heretical. And his previous feuds with other philosophical and religious thinkers, which we referenced at the beginning of the podcast, kind of came back to haunt him. Abelard fled to Champagne and became a hermit.
Students of philosophy continued to seek him out to try to get him to return to teaching. And he did, but he was constantly criticized and scrutinized for applying logic to matters of faith. And that was a practice that was viewed as very threatening to the medieval church.
After a while, he and his students created this community of teaching and learning that they called La Périclète. Eventually, he handed La Périclète over to Héloïse and the nuns from the convent where she'd been staying, because their convent had been disbanded after some internal church feuding. She became the abbess at La Périclète.
And Héloïse became highly respected in her own right at this point. Being an abbess required skill in both administrative and religious work, and she drew praise from Peter the Venerable and other prominent religious figures. She was also fluent in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, and she taught these languages to the other nuns as well.
Abelard continued to teach and to serve as an abbot, although his skeptical manner of approaching religious thought continued to draw fire. Eventually, he wound up, because of this, being accused of heresy, and he was condemned at a council at Sens in 1140. His sentence was lifted only after Peter the Venerable intervened.
Abelard's health started to really fail, and he died in 1142. Peter the Venerable built a tomb for him in Saint-Marcel, but Héloïse had him moved and reburied at La Périclète so that she could watch over him.
She lived another 20 years before dying sometime in 1163 or 1164. La Périclète also became a highly respected convent under her leadership, with six daughter houses as well.
And there's a story that she was actually buried in Abelard's grave, but there's no substantiation of that in the record. She was buried next to him, and their burial place was moved to a drier location in 1497.
In 1616, the letters that she and Abelard had exchanged between each other were published for the first time. And in 1621, the nuns at La Périclète moved their bodies to a new and more impressive tomb to satisfy curious visitors. They repeated this whole exhumation and reburial a few more times, in conjunction most of the time with new translations of the letters coming out and sort of influx of Abelard and Héloïse letter tourists.
You had to constantly upgrade the setting for the additional crowds, I presume.
Yes.
In the early 19th century, Abelard and Héloïse were moved to the cemetery Père Lachaise in Paris, where they are today. They lie together in a stone sarcophagus carved with both of their resemblances, and it's under a roof supported by pillars and arches.
The tomb in Père Lachaise was designed by Alexandre Marie Lenoir, who was the director of the Musée des Monuments Français between 1790 and 1816. Lenoir actually obtained their remains from La Périclète in 1800 and then created this tomb that had sort of a faux medieval look and feel. And he incorporated some pieces from what was reported to be some of the earlier tombs that had existed at La Périclète. The tomb itself is more about being evocative of their lives and their love story than authentic to the art and architecture of the period in which they lived.
We believe that the real remains are probably buried there because they were measured and authenticated when Lenoir acquired them. So anytime bodies get moved that many times, there's always a question mark of, is that really who we think it is?
But yeah.
They were verified.
Especially since the remains started out in the 12th century.
Yes.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And now to return to Abelard and Heloise. They both wrote extensively. Heloise's writings primarily included letters to Abelard and to other religious figures. And then Abelard's writings also include works on theology, metaphysics, logic, the philosophy of language, and the philosophy of mind. He also wrote poetry and songs, and some of these were about Heloise.
He never explicitly credited her, but modern scholars contend that Heloise really was quite influential when it came to Abelard's thoughts in the area of ethics. This is a reversal of older scholarship, which claimed that Heloise's thoughts were borrowed in their entirety from Abelard.
Yeah, it has to do with how focused she was on the idea of hypocrisy and how the life you're living outwardly should match up with the life that you're living inwardly, which she herself was very distressed by that idea, given the fact that she had gone into a convent for reasons other than spiritual devotion.
Yeah.
So there, in addition to all this, there are the letters that Abelard and Heloise wrote to each other after their relationship had ended. The first one was to Abelard from Heloise after she had read his Historia Calamitatum. He wrote this about 15 years after their relationship had ended, and when Heloise got it and read it, she was deeply distressed and very worried by what she read there about his mental state and how they had depicted their relationship and the like. She was also quite angry that in 12 years he had not once expressed concern or gratitude for her joining the convent, which she had not really wanted to do, and she had done entirely as like a sacrifice for his sake.
Her personal letters are very passionate and very pained. She wrote of how upset she is that, as we referenced a moment ago, she took vows because she loved Abelard, not because she loved God. She also wrote of how much she loved Abelard, saying things like, "My heart was not in me, but with you. And now, even more, if it is not with you, it is nowhere. Truly, without you, it cannot exist."
She also wrote of her sexual frustration. Quote, "Even during the celebration of Mass, when our prayers should be purer, lewd visions of these pleasures take such a hold upon my unhappy soul that my thoughts are on their wantonness instead of on our prayers. I should be groaning over the sins I have committed, but I can only sigh for what I have lost."
At one point in her letters, she accused Abelard of feeling only lust for her and not love, and in a reply, he agreed with her.
That's not what you want to hear back.
Not really.
Abelard's letters are reserved. They're a bit lectury, and they're really lacking in romance.
So some people frame this as Abelard being rational while Heloise is emotional. But a lot of Abelard's writing really is quite emotional, too. It's just that all of his emotion is directed toward religious matters and his sort of personal torment in what his life has become, while Heloise's emotion is all directed at Abelard.
And they also exchange letters of direction about how to establish a rule for her community of nuns, and they discussed matters of faith and scripture. So not all of their correspondence was just, "I loved you, I loved you, I loved you so much," and you kind of drop the ball.
And him going, yep. most of the time when you find collections of them, they're divided into like the more personal letters and the more spiritual letters, where they address questions about scriptures and how La Paraclete should operate and that kind of thing. There is some debate about the authenticity of these letters. You know, their relationship happened during the 1100s, but the oldest copies of these letters are from the 1300s. So naturally, this has led to speculation about whether they each really wrote everything that was attributed to them.
And the three schools of thought are that they're exactly what they're said to be, and then there's another that is that Abelard, in fact, wrote all of the letters. And then there's another that some other unrelated person wrote them later on, as a bit of medieval fanfic.
The overall, but, you know, definitely not 100% unanimous consensus, is that they are what they say they are, that they're letters from Abelard to Heloise and vice versa. And because they are so old, you can read many of them on the internet for free, should you be so inclined.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Castration, and we don't really, or at least I couldn't find, what happened to baby astrolabe. Like, we know that...
Yeah, I don't remember ever hearing about that.
Yeah, baby astrolabe stayed in Brittany with Abelard's sister, but otherwise, like, don't really have any sense of that.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me that they have been buried many times together, when it seems like, at least from a romantic point of view, things had kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
By the time they were both deceased.
Yeah. I think their romantic relationship with one another seems to have come to a complete halt from the time that he was castrated. I think had he not been castrated, they probably would have continued to have some kind of in secret relationship with one another. But then once that happened, it wasn't just because he did not have the physical parts anymore, but because that was such a hugely devastating experience for him. He felt completely shamed by the whole thing. Yeah. He had sort of become this public figure who had been literally disfigured because of this whole thing. Like, he was like, "No, now I'm going to devote my whole life to this other thing." I think Heloise, though, continued to, for the rest of her life, even after their correspondence stopped being about how much
she missed him and how much she loved him. I think she really carried that forever.
It certainly seems that way.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us for this Saturday classic. Since this is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar during the course of the show, that may be obsolete now. So here is our current contact information. We are at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com, and then we're at Missed in History all over social media. That is our name on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Instagram. Thanks again for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at USPS.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.